Welcome to the Everyman Sports Podcast, the show for fans, by fans. No former pros, no so-called experts, just real passionate fans. From outside on a porch to inside a living room, in the parking lot of a stadium to the dining room table, friends and families chat about their teams, their games, and what makes them cheer. This is Everyman Sports.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. Our number is 626-427-7678. That's 626-427-7678. And you can follow us on Twitter at Everyman Sports. And here we are with my dad. How you doing, Dad?
I'm doing great.
Also here with my friend Alex. Alex, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Good, good, good. So last we left you from the parking lot of Citi Field just before Game 3 of the National League Divisional Series. Where do we start? Well, let's start with the game itself. That game was an offensive masterpiece for the Mets. Most runs scored by the Mets in any single postseason game, which was a lot of fun to be in the stands for. And that was just a really fun time.
Matt Harvey,
he got into a little bit of trouble, but he straightened it out. And the Dodgers' third pitch, if it's not Greinke or Kershaw, they're not the best. But the Mets had the better pitching matchup, and they had Ruben Tejada coming out, walking with a limp because he broke his leg
on a Mets cane.
On a cane that said Mets all over it. So the crowd was so into it, and just the atmosphere of a playoff game is outstanding. Highly recommend it, but I don't think anybody's going to turn down any sort of playoff tickets if they ever come your way. And then I just want to very quickly tell a little bit about our trip back home from the game. So
from Citi Field.
So
the 7 line.
We took the 7 line in. We took New Jersey Transit in to Penn Station, then got on the subway out to Citi Field. We decided, hey, let's do that back. But times didn't work out.
It was a late start because it's late start, national telecast.
Yeah, 8:37 start as opposed to 8, like most of these other games for the league championship series. So late start, a lot of offense means longer games. Fast games are games that are 1-0, 2-1, low-scoring affairs. So by the time everything let out, we missed the train, and we took a cab ride from Madison Square Garden, Penn Station, all the way to New Brunswick train station. So, very late, very expensive cab ride, but
it was fun. Yes. Well worth it.
Oh yeah, it was one of those things like, well, and you always have a story. We'll always have a story to tell about that. So the Mets ended up winning the divisional series against the Dodgers 3-2.
And Utley's in the rearview mirror.
Yeah, Utley, and I thought it was interesting because two of the former Phillies that have haunted the Mets for the last, I'd say 8 years, 10 years, I think, at this point.
Sure.
Jimmy Rollins and Chase Utley both came up in the bottom of the ninth to possibly tie the game. The Mets won the game 3-2, but to possibly tie the game because they both have home run power. And I think it was a big deal that the Mets sort of exercised those Philly demons by getting them out in the ninth inning. So I thought that was a big...
That's feel-good stuff.
Yes, it was. And then we're currently recording this on Tuesday during game 3 of the National League Championship Series, where the Mets have gone up 2-0 on the back of great starting pitching and Daniel Murphy, who's hit 4 straight home runs against pretty much Cy Young candidates, best pitchers in the league.
Is it the Cubs Murphy jinx?
Yes. Have you heard of the curse of the Billy Goat, Alex?
No.
All right, so little background on the curse of the... are you familiar with the Red Sox when they had their curse of...
I know that baseball is a...
That was the curse of the Bambino.
Yeah.
Yeah, baseball is rife with curses.
Yes. So the two most famous were the curse of Babe Ruth with the Red Sox, where they traded... the Red Sox traded Babe Ruth to the Yankees, and they never won a World Series for 86 years after trading him. Until, you know, they beat the Yankees in just unbelievable fashion.
Yep.
So the curse of the Billy Goat goes back to 1945 when the Cubs last played in the World Series against the Detroit Tigers. During one of the games at Wrigley Field, the owner of the Billy Goat Tavern, and I forget his name off the top of my head, Philip something, he wanted to attend the game with his pet Billy Goat in the stands.
Reasonable.
Sure, reasonable. The owners
would have washed it.
Well, yeah, the ownership said no, it smells bad. People are complaining that it's even here outside the gate. You cannot bring it in. So
now there are stockyards at that time in Chicago. But
sure, yeah,
it wasn't welcome at the stadium.
No, it was wartime. It was the end of the war. You know, things weren't kept up as well. So the story goes one of two ways: either he left the goat outside and went inside to watch the game,
not likely.
Or he just left. But either way, it is widely reported through a telegram or by verbiage.
He wasn't texting.
No, he wasn't texting. He wasn't even writing emails.
He left a mean tweet.
He couldn't put it on Yelp. Nothing. He said, "You Cubs, you're never going to." He either said, "You Cubs are never going to win another World Series," or "You're never going to have another win another World Series game at Wrigley Field."
Hmm.
So it goes either ways. But the main thing is that because he was so hurt by the fact he couldn't bring his billy goat in, he allegedly cursed the Cubs.
Right.
Now, there have been many, many ways of trying to break the curse. People slaughtering goats for, like sacrifice.
Well, that's age old.
I did know about this curse through seeing it reported that an organization was asking people not to sacrifice goats.
Right. there are those who have eaten huge amounts of goat, like goat sausage. Like 30 guys eat like 1,000 pounds of sausage or whatever, made of goats. The most interesting one I've heard, it's from a company or an organization called Reverse the Curse. And what they do is they bring goats to third world countries and families in need. Because a goat can provide milk, it can provide meat,
And we can't check the story because it's so far away.
Right.
Companionship?
Yeah, companionship, sure. All depends.
It's like you buy a pair of shoes and they'll donate to a poor person.
Right, exactly. But that was the most interesting one, that it was like, wow, they're giving goats away to families in need, which, in other countries.
Right.
I thought that was really interesting. So all these different ways. And just like the Red Sox in their sort of like curses that pop up, like Bill Buckner ball through the legs or... Pedro Martinez blowing it and all that sort of stuff in the 2003 Game 7. The Cubs have had similar stuff with that. The most recent one was in 2003 where they were, I think, like 5 outs from going to the World Series and Bartman.
Yeah.
You've heard of Bartman, right? Yeah, the fan who reaches over. You're going to hear 1,000 things about it. So, and now that they're playing the Mets and Daniel Murphy has been unbelievable at the plate, hitting a home run in 4 straight games. It came to public knowledge that the goat's name in the Billy Goat Curse is named Murphy. Now that's quite the
is that a recent discovery?
Mrs. Murphy's cow that started the Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago farm. Has been farm animals don't do well in Chicago.
The slaughter yard. I mean, didn't help.
What was her name? Mrs. Riley something. Yeah. The cow allegedly kicked over a lantern that started the Great Chicago Fire of 1906, I think it was. And so now you have this billy goat. So now Chicago has always been a sort of predominantly Irish heritage city. So the name Murphy is not uncommon in Chicago. However, to see a player named Murphy hitting unbelievably against the Cubs in the first two games.
A cursed team.
Right. Mm. Now, also, the Mets have had history with the Cubs in their curse. 1969, when the Mets won their first World Series, during the season, the Cubs actually led their division over the Mets. And I think in August, the Mets started to mount a comeback, and there was a big 3-game series against the Cubs that season. And during, I think, the first game, a black cat, which nobody knows how it got grounds. Nobody knew where this black cat came from. Ran onto the field, stood in front of the visitors' dugout where the Cubs were, and stared into the dugout. Just stopped in front of the dugout. Didn't like crouch down. It just stood, stopped, and stared into the dugout. And then, lo and behold, the Mets overtook the Cubs and went on to win their first World Series. So there's direct relation between these two franchises and the curse.
I gotta say, if you're so disgruntled a fan that you're willing to curse your own team, you gotta ask the question: Is that guy a real fan?
I don't know.
Well, I think you only hurt the ones you love.
Well, that's true. I mean, any sports fan can honestly say, like, how, like, a jilted, like, any jilted lover, you feel so hurt by them, and yet, you know, for some reason, you go back year in, year out.
I'm reminded of, in Scottish Premier League football, mm-hmm. Recently, one of the two major teams in Scotland got demoted.
Right.
And the Glaswegian police were so happy about this because Derby Day, when the two Glasgow teams would play each other,
right,
had the highest rate of domestic abuse.
I have heard that stuff.
So they were saying, great, it's 80% domestic abuse reports down because these two teams don't play each other anymore.
Is the shopping closed down while the game's on?
Probably. No idea. I just
Do something else. Get out of here.
Get out of the house.
Yeah. Go away. You can't be here. Yeah, that's interesting. So right now we're currently watching the game, game three. It's 1-1 in, I think, the top of the second. So that's going on. And over in the American League, right now it's the Rangers and the... No, I'm sorry, not the Rangers. The Blue Jays and the Royals. And the Royals just went up 3-1. They were in the World Series last year. Blue Jays have this really outstanding offensive team, but apparently their pitching just isn't enough for the Royals, who have good pitching and good hitting as well. So that's going to be an interesting one to keep an eye on as well.
Is that team will be a good team in the future?
Who are the Blue Toronto? Jays? Absolutely. Now, the thing
they're
about...
They're willing to spend money.
Well, they're the only team in Canada, and Rogers, the primary owner of the Blue Jays, is the largest telecom firm in Canada. So they've got the money to spend, and
just the way this season's been going, they're certainly going to pick up a lot more fans than they necessarily started the season.
Well, sure. And the interesting thing about these four remaining teams in the postseason for baseball is that these are all teams that haven't been to the playoffs in quite some time. I mean, or at least even successful. The Blue Jays haven't made the playoffs since 1993 when they won the World Series. The Royals haven't. They made the playoffs last year, but they haven't won the World Series since 85. Mets haven't won since 86. Cubs haven't won since 1908. So, I mean, these aren't the Cardinals who are there every single year. These aren't the Yankees who are...
Oh, it's refreshing.
Yes, it is. It's something new, something different, and it draws in new fans from those cities. And also just like, hey, you know, hey. And, of course, there are the fans in pop culture because it's the year 2015 and in Back to the Future 2, as you're also hearing a lot about along with the Billy Goat and Black Cats, sure. Is that, you know, they predicted that the Cubs won the World Series against a unnamed Miami team. It's just Miami Gators, maybe?
Right.
They won the World Series in 2015. And it's 2015.
Well, I was surprised they didn't have a DeLorean drive onto the field before this game.
Well, I think maybe not this game, but they definitely want to, I think they're waiting for that stuff for the World Series. Actually, Christopher Lloyd, the actor who played Doc Brown in the movies, has requested that if they make the World Series, he wants to throw out the first pitch for whatever.
So they'll drive him in the DeLorean.
Yeah, probably. I wouldn't be surprised if they do.
I want to see that.
So it's a big thing. So there are a lot of casual fans, or even less than casual fans, saying it's 2015, and the Cubs are in the... They could win. They could go to the World Series. Yes, let's make this happen. That'd be awesome. Yeah. So, but you know, history dictates that the curse of the Billy Goat, it's going to probably pop its head up, but we'll see. I mean, right now it's not looking good for
the Cubs.
There's
ever a time for it to break.
Yeah, this would be the time. And I'm serious, with the Mets having sort of... Because that's really the first instance, the Black Cat is the first instance of the curse sort of popping its head up. Like, before that, it was just like, they stink this year. Or, oh, they almost missed it. But that was the first time it was like, whoa, well, that was weird. So that's something to watch out for these games in baseball. But moving on to football, we had week six this week. Still a couple of undefeated teams, one of which is not the Falcons, who lost on the road at New Orleans. Even though, New Orleans love to block punts. Like, every time they have a big game, it's always from a block punt. There's that game right. with the opening after Kachink.
And Breeze doesn't give up.
No, Breeze doesn't give up. And but yeah, Julio Jones was held in check and all that stuff. So that was good. boy, the Seahawks, they just they can't get over their own way.
2-4. Yeah.
2-4. They lost at home on the on a last, was it 10 seconds left?
Wasn't that a revenge game for the playoffs?
Yeah, kind of. And the Panthers are 5-0, or sorry, 6-0. Yes, they're 6-0 because the Patriots are 5-0, and they're the only teams that has a bye so far, right? Yeah, in any case.
Broncos still undefeated.
Broncos are still undefeated, amazingly. Yeah, they went into overtime. In, Cleveland came into Denver, and in overtime, they beat Cleveland. Cleveland. Well, yeah, I mean, this is not Peyton Manning of old. This is this is like when a, going back to baseball, this is like when a power pitcher realizes his fastball doesn't have enough, so he needs to like just kind of throw junk balls to try to just get you out.
It's a weird experience looking at that team and be like, they're almost like a mobile quarterback away from being a really great team.
Like
again.
A Tebow. Yeah. maybe not that far. Well, no, but that's kind of the bookend of it. That's how Peyton got there in the first place, when Elway was like, Tebow, no, the defense is good, but we need a better offense.
Well, we love talking about the undefeated teams, but the Jets.
4-1. Quietly. Or 5-1, I'm sorry. Mm. No, 4-1, I'm sorry.
4-1.
4-1, getting ahead of myself.
But quietly, you know, under the radar.
Yeah, they have.
And only 5 sacks.
Yeah, which is hard to believe from that offensive or defensive line.
In 5 games. That's not shabby.
No, but they've held on to the ball, except for this past week.
And Ivory, can you say enough about him?
He's an every down back, and he's a power back, too. It's amazing that the Saints gave him up for was it Ingram and Kiri Robinson down there. But, I mean, Ivory, he's just... He's an every down back.
He's tearing it up.
He plows through. And Ryan Fitzpatrick, I'll tell you what, it's going to turn out that IK punching Geno Smith might just be the best thing.
Well, that's especially when you've got such a weak offensive line. It's you. These long-serving journeyman quarterbacks, they know how to not get hit.
Yeah.
They know when to hold the ball. They know when to get rid of it. Yeah. They know how to preserve themselves, and that's kind of... It's paying dividends.
Yeah.
Well, he's not the future.
No, Fitzpatrick absolutely is in the future.
He's
adequate. But it doesn't seem like Geno's the future necessarily either. I mean...
Well, yeah. If he'd pay his bills and get on the field, we'd know more.
Well, that's true. Yeah, exactly. Neither a borrower nor a lender be, but to thine own self be true. And apparently he didn't follow those rules. So I'm trying to think of any of the other big... And then...
The biggest play had to be Indianapolis.
With the bad trick play.
What was that?
yeah. Well, they had the quarterback behind the center.
No, cornerback. It was the defensive corner. Back.
Yeah, now that was supposed to be a punt?
It was a fake punt.
But fake he's punt under, but he's like he's under center.
Offside.
Right.
And then the entire line is off to the right by themselves and not even on the line of scrimmage.
Right.
And they actually snapped the ball.
Now it went around that play actually did work in college, I think, 2 years ago in a game in Division II.
So is the league regressing or the coaching or what?
No.
There was
an article
they want to outsmart Bill Belichick.
Well, that's the thing. There was an article online that basically said, like, Belichick gets into these coaches' heads where they're like, we need to do something. We need to do something outlandish. What do we do? And... So basically, this play worked 2 years ago. It was a game between the University of Maine and JMU, James Madison University, yeah. Where the main difference was in that game, the person who took the snap was in a shotgun formation. They were far back. Well, this guy's right under center, and there are three guys right on top of him.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's 3-on-2, and it's not going anywhere. And he snapped it anyhow.
Yeah. Right, and he bobbled the snap.
My only thinking about that play is it could never have been intended to have been snapped.
Yeah, I get it. Because then he was shown on, Pagano was shown on film, and you see him mouth the words, why did you snap it?
Yeah.
Or like, you're not supposed to snap
it. He said, hut, so I gave it. No.
No, you're not supposed to. Works. Yeah, that's not exactly how that goes. So, but I will say this much.
It was a blunder.
It was a blunder, but I will say this much about that game. Everybody thought they were going to run the score up on the Patriots, and the Colts held them in check.
Mm.
And they were
the Patriots going to run the score up.
But yeah, that's what I'm saying. The Colts held the Patriots in check.
Yeah.
And
well, they covered.
Yeah. And they was only 7. They were only down by a touchdown.
Right.
So by the end of the game. So that was an interesting one. So going into this week, week 7, Who do you like this week? Because you looked at the Jets Patriots line.
I'm thinking the Eagles over the Panthers.
You'll have Panthers. What's the line on that?
I mean, I'm not giving the Panthers respect, really. I mean, they just won in Seattle. And I think often what happens if you play in Seattle.
Yeah, you get a. It's tough. Week
out, it's a little taxing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, so.
I'm feeling that. And like in Arizona at home. What is that? Is that a Monday night or something?
Let's see. Arizona at home is a Monday night. They're giving 7.5 to Baltimore.
Right.
They lost to the Niners. Like, that's just bad. And that field is awful. Mm. Justin Tucker went for an extra point or a field goal, and he stepped in, and the ground just collapsed underneath. Yeah.
It's like a 3-inch divot underneath his
head. It's awful. Don't forget, that's where the that's where the Super Bowl is going to be this year. So that field's in tatters.
They'll change that by then.
Mm.
What's the Chargers Raiders line? Because I think that's going to be a really competitive game, if nothing else.
Oh, Oakland at San Diego. San Diego's given 4.
Hmm.
I mean, 500 yards thrown by Rivers. First time in NFL history.
Well, 65 pass attempts.
Yeah. 500 yards.
Who wins games like that?
Well,
almost.
Probably Jim Kelly or Steve Young or somebody. In there. But yeah, 500 yards and you lose the game. Because here's the important stat that he didn't fill out. Touchdowns. He only had 2 touchdowns.
Yep.
When you have 500-yard passing, you need at least 3.
Right.
Four, and five,
he played between the 20s.
Yeah. But hey, they should have won that game. I was watching that game because it was a nationally televised game. And there was an opening for Rivers on, I think, first down where he could have run it in.
It up the middle.
He could have run it. It was either first down or second down. Yeah, where Gates was in the back, and he tried to throw it back there, and he decided to throw it. And that pass to Woodhead to end the game.
Yeah.
Like, I forget who, he jumped the route.
Half a yard, or more separation.
It was fourth down.
Right.
So the receiver had to stay in the end zone,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So he can't make a move for the ball and come back for it.
Right.
Because he'll be tackled, and it's fourth down. So they did what they had to do.
Yeah. Mm. So you like Carolina at home giving 3.
Oh, I like the Eagles.
Oh, I'm sorry. You like the Eagles plus 3 at Carolina.
That's also back-to-back national game for Chip Kelly, right?
That is true.
And they have done extremely well.
And
on national games.
They have. Bradford didn't look too good last night. He was one touchdown, three interceptions.
Game.
And it wasn't like the Giants were... The Giants...
Imploded.
It was the offense. The defense kept the Eagles in check as best they could. Four turnovers, a fumble, and 3 interceptions. They did their job. It was just Eli.
Well, because the schedule is a marathon, I mean, you can't have your foot to the floor on the gas pedal.
That's true.
So all these glitches pop up, and it makes a foundation for further success.
They're very difficult, absolutely. So we got Philadelphia plus 3, Arizona giving 7.5. And who do you like in the Oakland, San Diego, for talking lines? So San Diego's given 4 at home. Oakland coming off a bye.
I kind of like Oakland. As a Chargers fan, it's hard to say, but they've been... I think Oakland are going to be really up for it. They're a much better team.
They are.
Yeah.
Carr's really starting to fill out as a quarterback. The defense is still pretty good. I wouldn't say playoffs just yet, but I don't think we're looking at a 5-11 team.
I think it's going to be within a score. Every Chargers game has come down to within a score. So,
yeah.
It's just whether that fourth down play comes off, whether that tip becomes an interception, whether
that's true.
These small things are going to, I think, make the difference. Because otherwise, I think they're quite evenly matched.
So. I think you're right. That's a very good point. So that's going on. And, fantasy leagues. I'd have to say, if I may, I think I personally had a perfect sports day on Sunday. The Jets won over the Redskins. The Mets won in wonderful fashion over the Cubs. And then two of my fantasy teams won.
Wow. You must be living right.
I was. And I actually, in my personal league, I was a little nervous because my opponent was very close to my score, and he had Tom Brady. But Tom Brady didn't throw a lot of touchdowns, which was also surprising. Like, that's what I'm saying. They did not run the score up like everybody thought they would on the Colts. So I was So basically, I was 10 points ahead, and they had the Giants kicker. So all he needs to do is kick 3 field goals, and I'm cooked. But he only had 1 extra point, so the Giants didn't pull through. So I won that game, and then I won my other Everyman Sports League.
Speaking of New England, they're playing the Jets, and the Jets are getting 9.
That's a big line.
For a divisional game.
It is, but it's Jets-Patriots. I mean,
yeah, but this is a different Jets team.
You're right. This isn't Rex. This isn't,
he doesn't oversell.
This isn't Sanchez. Coach. This isn't all that stuff.
Yeah, they're grounded.
They are much, they're a much down-to-earth team. Yeah, I think that's fair. And Alex, how'd you do in your fantasy leagues this week?
Pretty well. Every Man Sports League was a victory. It was a slight concern because there was I only had 1 player left, and my opponent had no players. But
right.
I was still only favored, like 60 to 65 to 35.
Yeah.
And essentially, it as long as Andre Johnson did not fumble, I would win. And there was a legitimate concern that the kind of way he's been playing that might happen.
Yeah.
So it's a weird thing, desperately hoping your player does not get thrown to.
Yeah.
As long as he doesn't touch the ball, you win the game.
And you're absolutely right. And so you're currently in second place in our league.
Yep.
And last year you came in second place at the end of the year. So.
Yeah. And how's Leah doing?
My wife is currently in fourth place. She was the winner last year. Yeah, she's in fourth place. My sister-in-law is in third place, one ahead of her.
Great.
Yeah,
I'm sure that
she likes to change her names this week. So right now hers is third best. So she she likes to do that stuff.
There's an interesting dynamic going on in one of my NFL leagues.
NFL.com.
Yeah. Essentially, looking at someone picking up Niles Davis and Karchanchik
West
early in the waivers, and essentially attempting to extort the best trade out of them whilst the prospect is still high. And
right.
I found that a really interesting dynamic of trying to bank on a completely unknown to try and leverage a trade.
Yeah, and you look at it this week, and even though they kept saying like, oh, West is like a mini version of Jamal Charles, but then you look at this week, and there's a reason why he's the backup and not the starter.
What about Todd Gurley?
I don't know. He's not lighting it on fire. I mean, he's not. I think at this point, Melvin Gordon's a better running back than Todd Gurley is. I mean, Gurley was out a little bit. No, Melvin Gordon was out a little bit. But so far, Melvin Gordon, he hasn't been lighting the world on fire. But I think Gurley, there's no running back that came out of the draft this year that's an instant. There's no Eddie Lacy.
Yeah, right.
Is basically what I'm saying.
Even Eddie Lacy this year has not been.
And right now we're watching on delay, and I believe, Daniel Murphy just hit his 5th home run in 5 games.
Shocking.
Murphy.
And there's a player that the Mets didn't want, couldn't peddle him.
And the Mets are still saying they're not going to sign him.
And he's never played for anyone except the Mets. What a loyal guy. And look what he gets.
Well, I mean, but look.
Now he'll get a paycheck.
Well, here's the thing. He's 31 years old? He's a hitter. He's a professional hitter. He's played a multitude of positions. He's not a defensive wizard. I have a theory that the Mets, if now this is a big if, but for argument's sake, let's say the Mets win the World Series. If you're David Wright, you're in your mid-30s. You have a big contract, yes, but now you have spinal stenosis. You win the World Series. Walk out on top a la Jerome Bettis.
Right.
That opens up a position and a paycheck.
How do you turn down the money?
Because
how do you walk away?
Yeah.
Well, if it's his back, isn't that insurance? Because if he's retiring for injury-related reasons,
I'm not an attorney.
No, but I'm just saying. That's my best guess. So if David Wright, because David Wright is the captain of the Mets, and he always talks about how he does the best, and really he's been a superstar, and now
look at this,
Yoenis Cespedes almost sends one out, but it's caught at the warning track, so almost back to back homers, but not quite. So yeah, so if David Wright, I mean, this is a guy, he's a positive superstar. He's never done anything to the Mets or anything in public that has made people waver
on. He's the public face of the Mets.
Right. So, but what I'm saying is, for argument's sake, now this is just an argument.
Yeah, it makes sense. Sure, yeah, you go out and on top.
You go out on top, that opens a position and a paycheck for Daniel Murphy. Because the thing is, they're not going to sign him to be a backup second baseman, maybe? Mm-hmm. Maybe third baseman?
It's going to be hard not to sign him now.
It's going to be very hard. Well, here's the thing. One of my other friends, Cody, who's been on the show before, has said, make a qualifying offer. Because then you get the draft picks because of it. Because if you offer money to, if you offer a contract to a high-end player and he turns it down, the league gives you a draft, an extra draft pick early in the Major League Baseball draft to sort of make up the difference. Hmm. It's not an immediate makeup, but it's like, here, look, you know, you tried. Here, we'll give you something extra.
Throw you a bone.
And usually that kind of helps. Like a lot of the, and now, especially now, that's kind of the way to build teams is not only through the minor league system, but also through drafts. It's that money ball idea. Like prey upon the overvalued stat and hunt for the under, you know, and really hunt for the undervalued stat. And that's kind of what Sandy Alderson, who's the GM of the Mets.
Hasn't that been thought of before? Buy low, sell high?
But yes, I didn't say it is the cornerstone of Moneyball, but I'm just saying that it's a big part of it.
It's a concept.
It absolutely is. And you see it happening with the Athletics these last, what, 10 plus years? At this point, I think like 15 years. So it has a hold in it in that respect. So that's kind of how these, especially these, like the Cubs, how they've been built. Because these are all their hitters are young power hitters. The Mets pitching staff are all power pitchers. That's how they were gotten, through the drafts, through trades. You know, this sort of, just like we were saying, you know, being crafty with how you craft the team. So,
being lucky.
Yes, yeah. But it just goes to the point that Murphy is, he is a hitter and he's a playoff performer. And just like Mark Lemke was with the Braves, when during the season he barely hit 200, but during the playoffs in 1991, he hit over 400. He was a light-hitting second baseman. So you get these every now and then. Carlos Beltran, as much as we wanted to ride him for one pitch, the man did hit 8 home runs in a postseason, and he didn't even make the World Series. So there are just some players that perform in the postseason when it's under Eli Manning. Like if we're going to let's talk about Eli Manning. During the regular season, that man is a mental midget. But as soon as as soon as the playoff comes around and your back's against the wall, honestly, would you rather have Peyton or Eli?
I'd rather the guy who can catch a ball from behind too. His back and against his helmet.
Yes, David Tyree and Mario Manningham. Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, you know, Eli has shown he has done it time and time again.
Right.
Peyton, maybe he does it, and it's only under the right conditions. So.
Well, he hasn't had a defense.
No,
and Peyton Manning. Now he does.
Well, yeah, it's very true. So, all right. Well, thanks very much for joining me, guys.
Thanks very much.
You're welcome. Oh, Alex, did you want to talk anything? Is the Rugby World Cup still going on?
Yeah, Rugby World Cup's just hit the semi-final stage.
Oh, did it?
There are no Northern Hemisphere teams left.
But, I mean, that's kind of
the... Australia's still alive?
Yep, so the semi-finals are South Africa versus New Zealand and Argentina versus Australia. So those were just a very destructive weekend for Northern Hemisphare.
Argentina's a long shot?
Yeah, they kind of shock upset... Ireland to make their semi-final spot, but they are looking a much improved team.
And who did Japan upset? Because but that was a big thing that Japan.
Yeah, opening weekend it was Japan beat South Africa, like one of the tournament favorites.
Yeah,
and this was a Japanese team that had like not scored a try in a World Cup ever.
Right.
And 2 years ago got 4-0 at the group stage, didn't score a try, and came out and shocked South Africa. And it was like one of the biggest upsets in World Cup history.
Well, yeah, I mean, South Africa, that's one of the... That's like saying, like, you know, Germany lost in the World Cup of soccer.
To North Korea.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
it's like, that level.
How did that happen? That's not possible. So I thought that was really... So, yeah, we'll have to keep us up to date with that.
Yeah, no, so both England and Wales out, so my allegiances are now... guess with the Australians.
I guess
they're the closest we have to the English.
To see New Zealand, because I know they've got they really love it, and they've got their whole display, like they do a whole big dance and a chant.
Well, notice this in American football. I mean, college and the pros. I mean, these rugby-style punters.
Rugby-style punters? And now you've got the rugby guy with the 49ers. What's his name?
Carlos.
So it
No.
Yeah, I forget his name. But so far, disappointing.
But the lure of the money, it should bring the talent.
Right.
I think it's. I think what a lot of rugby players realize is the skills aren't necessarily transferable. A rugby ball is so much bigger and easier to kick than an American football.
That is true. It's much. It's more rounder.
And the dollars. Yeah. The dollar signs.
Well, you say that now in like French Premier League rugby is it pays masses. Like there was always salary caps in UK league rugby,
right?
And now the French have come in and basically been like, we will pay you all the money, which gives a problem to national teams because then the selectors don't see their players because they play overseas, so they don't make the national teams.
Right,
so you have
the
best players playing overseas not getting in your national team.
That's true.
Which is a big issue for
rugby.
A lot of countries. And
yeah,
rugby in
I can imagine. Yeah.
Yeah, exciting weekend coming up.
So. Well, that's cool. We'll have to keep you have to keep us up to date with that. Maybe next week, stuff like that. That'd be great. All right. Well, Dad, thanks very much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Alex, thanks again.
Thanks again.
All right, Andrew, please take it away.
This has been another episode of Everyman Sports. The show's music is Cold Funk by Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under CC Attribution 3.0. Everyman Sports can be found on Facebook.com, where you can like it to receive updates and news. Visit Everyman Sports in the iTunes Store to leave a review of the show. Also, visit everymansports.podbean.com directly to comment and support. Everyman Sports can be contacted directly at everymansports@gmail.com.